Okay, I'm going to call the Cecil County Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Supervisor Cox, flex you, please.
Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's see, just a note that the board is only convening as the Board of Supervisors today in this special meeting. And for roll call, we have Supervisor Hupp.
Present.
Supervisor Cobstaff.
Here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Thank you much.
Okay, I have three presentations from the public. I got a couple comment cards. Sharon from Montague. You want to speak now?
Well, I just received...
You have to come up to the...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and you have to state your name for the record for me. For the clerk. Linda will be next.
I just recently moved to...
We need your name for the record.
Oh, Sharon Gant.
Thank you.
I recently moved to Copco Lake. And I moved there because I thought it was such a nice community and everything was going to be quite well. My realtor didn't mention real well that they were going to move the lake. And in watching it happen, I've gotten lots of letters that say ridiculous things about if your well goes dry, we'll give you $5,000. My neighbor goes a well parallel to me. His one 10 years ago was $45,000. And it's been a lot of things like that where you got to get rid of your docks, but no one can get people to do it. Or it's somebody that's single and lives there at 80 years old, can't exactly go out there and pull it out herself. The letters have been ridiculous in that they really don't state what's really happening or a realistic amount for what you need to get what happening. And so most of us are sitting with one foot in our house and the other foot going, where are we going? Well, at 73, I really don't want to go again. That's where I went to retire. And it doesn't seem that that seems to be important to anybody. It seems more important that they get everything cleaned up and get all the water out and go well. And I just haven't heard too many people say, what about the people? It's all about the lake and the Pacific Power and the fish and wildlife, which I can't imagine you're going to really like it when the lake's gone, considering how many deer I see around it every day. So I just wish that people would consider the people there, too. We might not be important as the wildlife, as some people seem to think, but we kind of thought we were important. So that's all I'd like to say is I wish you'd think of us as people and not let just Pacific Power do what they want with us in there. Silly letters that they think were silly enough to believe. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Linda Ebert?
I'm Linda Ebert. I live on the north shore of Copco Lake. I'm one of those people who has a dock to get out, and I did engage someone, a contractor, remodeling across the lake in July. That fell through. His excavator got stung by a wasp nest, the whole flock of bees. And on the day he was supposed to have met with me, the contractor at the time left to go to Southern California, and he hasn't been back since. I tried to contact several other contractors at the start of this past week, realizing that the first contractor wasn't going to come through. Now I'm wondering if there's any flexibility in the dock, the deadline for the docks to come out. I have this man engaged for week after next. That's as soon as he can get to it, and I'm hoping that smoke or rain or whatever won't intervene, but I'm getting next to the deadline, and I had started in July. And I'm just hoping that there is a little bit of flexibility on that deadline for getting the docks out. I may also bring up a peripheral issue. I'm with the fire auxiliary out there, and my understanding is that we have shortchanged Copco Lake area residents and Cornbrook residents on mitigation fund funds for the fire management plan. The bulk of them went to Wairika and Montague, who aren't as impacted as Copco Lake area residents and Cornbrook residents. And I'm wondering if there will be any further mitigation funds available for our area, Copco Lake area residents and Cornbrook area residents. That's all. Thank you.
Do you have any other card here?
I do, but that's for one of the items.
Okay. Anyone else in the presentation from the public?
Chosen online.
I think online, is that just listen only? How are we doing that this time?
Hopefully not.
Okay. Moving on, item four, departmental requests, natural resources, and CKM environmental.
Hello, board and public. I'm Chelsea Murphy. I'm the PM for the project. I know many of you guys have seen me on Zoom or heard me online, but I'm happy to be here today to present on what has been happening over the past few months since our last meeting. We have a really excellent agenda today, so I'm going to try not to steal anybody else's thunder here. You're going to be hearing from FEMA, the Roads Commissioner, KRC, and McMillan. And so the focus of my presentation today, or my talking points today, is really going to be what we as a county have been working on in regards to the project, as well as upcoming notices and activities that you all should be aware of. And then we're going to hit on a couple of topics that are of particular interest to the board as well as to the public. So this summer has really been focused on communication, coordination with KRRC and contractors and RES. And we've also been doing a lot of coordinating and reviewing of permit applications. There's going to be a construction update later on, but really the work for the project itself from KRRC's end has been really focused on pre-drawdown activities, such as the COPCO 1 audit construction that has been occurring, as well as the removal of COPCO 2. Recent work has also included removal of trees in Ward's Canyon. Some of you may have seen in a public announcement about that. So that has been happening below COPCO 2. If you've seen helicopters with large trees, that is the work that is going on downriver, and the purpose of that work is for public safety and worker safety during the drawdown starting in 2024. So recent activities from the county's side. KRC brought on a new PIO, Public Information Officer, this summer, Bren Brownwell. She is here today. She will be introducing herself. But the county has been in regular communication with her to get public information out efficiently and effectively. We are really working to make sure that the project activities, as well as any announcements or upcoming events, are transparent and known to the public. We have also been assisting with public questions and concerns. So a good example is recently there was some public safety concerns regarding some recreation sites that were just below Iron Gate Dam, particularly with the recent holiday and lots of recreating happening. So we were able to work with KRRC and the contractors to fix the public safety issue and make that boat launch a lot more safe for recreators. I would like to just remind everyone that if there are additional concerns or questions from the public, that you email the county email address that we have set up for the project, and that is ldkinfo@co.siskiyou.ca.us. That's also published on the county website. We also worked, the county staff and myself worked on the creation of a formalized preemption form. So, as a reminder, as part of the Federal Power Act, there is a regulation or a statement in the Federal Power Act that preempts all state and local law concerning hydroelectric licensing, apart from those adjudicating property water rights. So, what that means is part of the FERC order that the project has preemption from state and county law. However, Because the FERC order states a good neighbor policy, we have been requesting as a county that KRC and their contractors do apply for county permits. That has been going. They have been applying. We have been working through that. However, there are some county permits that are going to be considered too burdensome for the contractors to apply to, and therefore they're going to be asking for preemption. So for the county to track what is being asked for preemption, and to also include the standard terms and conditions of the permit that they're asking for preemption on, we have created a form that we are asking that KRC and the contractors fill out, and in which we can attach the standard terms and conditions. So it's a tracking mechanism for us. It's for transparency moving forward on the project. Let's see here. So next topic, floodplains. So back in June, I created with the assistance of the county a floodplain memo. There was a lot of questions after the KMF mitigation, the Climate Mitigation Fund presentations earlier this summer. There are a lot of questions from the board and the public regarding floodplain and the new floodplain as it was termed in those presentations. That new floodplain was a model that was done by the BOR in 2012. That was referenced in the EIR, EIS, and environmental documents. That floodplain, there was some misunderstanding as to what the relevance of that floodplain is moving forward. And so we created this memo, which I believe the board received, that outlines what the purpose of that modeling was and then what are going to be kind of the next steps moving forward. So, to clarify on the next steps on how a new 100-year floodplain will be mapped, we have invited FEMA to present today. So you guys will be hearing from Edie Lohman. She is with the National Flood Insurance Program at FEMA. And she will help explain the process for remapping that 100-year floodplain. We ask that any questions moving forward from either the public or the board, go through myself and the public email address for the project. FEMA has limited staff availability, and for the purposes of efficiency and transparency, we're trying to coalesce all the questions, get them answered at once, and then we will report back. So she will be on the phone today to answer some questions that you may have today, but moving forward, if you guys could direct those questions to me, I will make sure that they get answered. Roads and bridges. I'm not going to steal Road Commissioner Deeney's thunder here, but I am going to touch on a couple topics. We are very aware that the roads in the project area are not great shape. They are becoming increasingly more of a concern for public safety. We have been working under the MOU to get additional maintenance done on those roads as soon as possible. There was some work that was done in June by KRRC, but we're looking for additional road maintenance moving forward. Dry and Fall Creek Bridges, we received a memo, the county received a memo last Friday that gave us the calculations that we had requested for the shoring up and strengthening of those bridges to pass the heavy loads. That is currently being reviewed by county staff. And we're going to be having a meeting with KRRC and Kiewit following this meeting to discuss that memo and moving forward. I also understand that there has been some concern about Copco Bridge and the structural stability of that bridge. There has been traffic related to the project that has gone over that bridge, heavy loads and large trucks. And so there is some concern about the stability of that bridge for public safety. We will be working with the contractors on potential mitigation and analysis of the structural stability of that bridge. Okay, lastly, I was just gonna go over some upcoming meetings and upcoming activities moving forward. So we will be hosting a meeting, the county will be hosting a meeting at the Copco Community Center tomorrow, which is Tuesday, 9/27 at 6 p.m. That location is going to be at the community center, which is next to the Copco Lake Fire Department. And the address is 27739 Kopko Road. The public is invited to attend. The purpose of the meeting is for us to give a little bit of a presentation from the county side, KRRC, and the contractors will also be on site to answer questions. And it's really for us to hear about public's concerns, issues they're having, and see what we can address during that meeting and after. I'm also going to be giving a having another meeting that has been coordinated with Richard Marshall with specific community members from the Klamath River Country Estates, Siskiyou County Water Users, Klamath River Guides, Kopko and our ranch to listen to their concerns and needs as well. So upcoming actions, sign installation. Their project signs are ready to go. They're going to be installed hopefully in October. A permit, both an encroachment permit and a signage permit, were submitted to the county, and the encroachment permit has been approved. I have been working with the planning department on the sign permit. There is, due to some language in the Siskiyou County Code that states that no more than two signs on a property being developed or being constructed cannot occur, we are looking at a hybrid approach to approving that sign permit. So it's going to include some of the signs that aren't two on a single piece of property, as well as working through that preemption form that I had mentioned earlier. So I'm working in close conjunction with the planning department on those activities so that we can get signage up as soon as possible. Hopefully that will help alleviate some of the lost traffic, particularly in relation to Kopko Bridge. Upcoming work for roads and bridges. When the maintenance work is determined, we will make sure that there's a public announcement and that the board is made aware ahead of time. We'll also be working on a global transportation permit per the MOU that we're hoping to get developed prior to January 2024 in the major construction activities. The planning department, myself, and the building department have been reviewing and will inspect the RES, which is the restoration contractor on the project, their fuel tanks that they wish to install on their property. We have been working through that process. As a reminder, private dock removal deadline, as we heard from the public, is fast approaching on Kopko Lake. That date is, I believe, set at October 30th. Kopko reservoir and lake levels will continue to fluctuate as they prepare for drawdown and other work activity moving forward. In the September staff report, I did include the fluctuation schedule so that you are all aware, and that report will be posted online for the public to review. Mallard Cove Recreation Site on Kopko is going to go into permanent closure October 30th. That announcement has been made from both county and KRRC, but I just wanted to remind everyone. We will be working with KRC contractors to look at finding some public viewing areas for the drawdown, which is still anticipated to begin in January of next year. We will keep the board updated on where those may be and where you all can go out to see the activities in 2024. The county is also working with CDFW to schedule regular check-in meetings to discuss the project. I had a discussion with a supervisor prior to the meeting about the staff reports and the FERC filings. In the staff reports under either Appendix B or C, there is a list of all the recent FERC filings. Because of the size of the FERC filings, it's not possible to include them as an attachment. We will be moving forward with creating a report that synthesizes what those filings are every month with kind of the Cliff Notes version of what's included so that you guys can be informed of what's being filed at FERC. As a reminder to folks, I believe that the Board of Supervisors meetings, the Special Supervisors meetings, will conclude after this until 2024 for the project. So we will take a hiatus over the holidays for the project, but we'll move forward in earnest in 2024. As always, I'm here to answer questions and to help. So please reach out at any time. Thank you.
Okay, let's see if there's any initial questions, Supervisor Chris.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you for your follow-up on the boat launch.
Yeah.
We were contacted by that, and there was a small victory there, so thank you on that. In regards to the some of the making we're under KRC as well, for the platforms, the piers. There's folks that would like to keep their piers in place for access to what will become more of a river down the road. So they're going to be putting signs up on the piers, asking that they remain there. Something for us to address tomorrow night. They wanted to know if they could keep their piers, not the part that floats, but the frame that goes out there. And so they want to have dialogue. It means a lot to people. So they'd like to know whether or not they can keep that there and whether that be removed or not be removed on their individual properties.
I can follow up with KRC on that.
Right. That is going to be, we were talking about it, the signs. I'm going to try to keep my pier in place. You know, if we could keep those, it'd be nice for folks if they could keep them. Better access down there and they're continuing with that. For the Copco Road Bridge, thank you for your follow-up on that. I was contacted by constituents quite a few times. There's been, I don't know the number or volume. I don't want to dramatize it, but I understand there's been a good volume of trucks that took a right and they should take a left, and the left and they should take a right. So they need to take down over Copco Road Bridge, one by the community hall. That's not just a bridge that people walk across to have coffee with their neighbors. The fire station is on one side of that bridge, and the access to it is really it's not just a bridge for convenience. It really is it is convenient, no doubt about it, but it's one for essential services, literally. And so I think for the project to end and then 5-10 years down the road find out there's been a crack or something put in place, and then they can't get fire engines or water tenders across, it's just a vital bridge for that community.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Rocha, anything?
You answered most of my questions out in the hall, so, and you addressed them, so thank you for that. There were a few comments from the public earlier that I could address briefly, in that some of that money that was allotted for fire safety, I do know that the Chiefs Association was granted some money and given Hornbrook Fire Station, I think, got an engine or at least one fire truck, and I know South Wairika got some large water dip tanks, and those, thank you, those are and those are able to go all around the county wherever there's a fire, and I know that those are able to go up to Copco and can be used wherever they're needed. So those are portable tanks. So not just for South Wairika, but used everywhere. So don't feel like you're being shorted there. So I just wanted to make sure that y'all knew that. So I'll stop there, because you've pretty much covered what I
mean.
Excellent.
Thank you.
A few questions. We heard that this dock removal, why is it incumbent upon the resident?
I don't believe it is. I believe that KRRC has extended the invitation that the contractors can remove those docks for the residents. And they are also going to be bringing those materials up to the resident's home to save the materials. So that is something that the community can request of KRRC, and I'm sure they're going to be discussing that topic during their presentation.
And how do they get a hold of the KRRC to be able to process that?
Yeah, so there is a couple of ways. Their website has an email address. I understand that communication hasn't always gone well or has been speedy, let's say. However, KRRC has a new public information officer that is available to help answer questions and get the requests over to the right people. So I would highly recommend communicating with Ren. Her contact information is also online, and I'm sure she's going to introduce herself later today. I'm sure she can also give everybody her email address and phone number information as well.
Is there a direct phone, cell phone, that people can access, or is it just email?
I believe there's a phone number. I do not know if it's direct or not. That's going to have to be a question for KRRC.
And the PIO officer, have they had meetings within that region, or are they a PIO for national news, or are they strictly for local?
So they're, my understanding is both. And again, KRRC is going to have to answer some of those questions,
okay.
Supervisor, but my understanding is that they are a PIO for the project, period, which includes local communication, national communication, etc. I do know that there has been a series of meetings that have been held in the area, and KRC can answer some more questions about those meetings. They will also be at the COPCO meeting tomorrow up at the community center at 6 o'clock. So if residents have questions pertaining to their docs or other questions, we would really welcome them to come to that meeting.
Are the residents getting answers to their questions with regard to getting... not only the question answered, but whatever the concern is done, or is it just being filed that we'll take care of it later?
I think as much as possible we're taking action.
Okay.
I know from the county side that is our policy, is we're not just taking comments and filing them, we are looking for action as much as possible.
Okay. The permitting, the burdensome permitting, boy, I'd like to have a card for that. Come on.
I think everybody would.
But what does that entail? What is burdensome? Just the process?
No, I believe it's holding up the schedule and the project
so
in general.
How does that fit with our local contractors, home builders that are trying to get permitting that are held up for scheduling, or homeowners that are seeing increased mortgage rates because they can't get through our permitting process? Is this permitting process affecting our local permitting process as well?
No.
Okay.
So that preemption is only for federal for projects that fall under the Federal Power Act,
mm-hmm.
Which are hydroelectric FERC licensed projects. So that is the only case in which preemption applies.
Okay. And lastly, I know your position is funded, and it's not general fund. Pacific Corps has funded this position. But with regard to our county staff time, is there reimbursement for our actual time in this process? Because I'll just say it, residents didn't ask for this, the county didn't ask for this. We're in a position now that there should be no out-of-pocket to residents or the county for this process taking place. I've been told in the meetings over the past that there's plenty of funding to cover overcosts if that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to pay to play, and I don't want to see the county take a hit from this, nor our residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. So the purpose of this project management position is to take the burden off the county in as much ways as possible.
Understood.
However, as not being a county staff member, I do need to coordinate with the county, right, to make sure that the decisions that are being made and the communication that's happening is approved by county staff. So there is some time being spent by county staff on this project. I cannot speak to whether or not there was any sort of agreement for county staff time being paid, but I will say that there is language in the MOU that if the roads and bridges, and I will have to get back to an exact language because I don't want to overspeak here, that there is language in there about reimbursing county time for fixing the road. Exactly how much and percentage-wise, I'd have to go back and look at that roads and bridges MOU.
But with regard to county council time or community development, it's not under that MOU.
Correct.
Is there reimbursement coming that way?
I cannot speak to that. I will have to follow up with you on that.
So the permitting does help offset some of that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Somebody else?
Thank you. To follow up on that, the CAO, have we set up a line item to charge this business against so that we have an accounting of the county cost?
We haven't. Angela Davis, County Administrator, we have not set up a line item for this particular project for reimbursement.
That's something we could look at?
Absolutely.
Please. And maybe report back to us occasionally on how that's going.
Will do.
Thank you. A couple questions. My first is related to an answer I never get, which is, with any project, there's normally a contracting officer with a host of inspectors who are on the ground to look at the work. Now, I've always been, well, it's this contractor or that contractor. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for who ultimately the federal government FERC is responsible for this project and who all the contractors answer to.
Sure. I will, I'm going to defer a little bit to KRC because they won't be able to give you a little bit more detail on the inspections, but I do know that the agencies are being kept abreast of what's going on in the project. There are regular monthly agency meetings in which both the federal and state governmental agencies that have a regulatory nexus for the project are involved in. There is also inspections by those agencies. So, for instance, the State Water Board has been out to the project to inspect to make sure that their permit conditions are being upheld. In terms of FERC's involvement, that is going to have to be a question for KRC, but as far as I'm aware, they are in constant communication and are doing FERC filings per the FERC order.
No disrespect, but that's the answer I always get.
Sure.
And that's not what I'm looking for. There is a particular position, a person either at the state or at the federal level with a contracting officer who has the responsibility of saying yay and nay on the checkpoints of the contract. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm looking for.
Understood. Yes, and I do know that that is common for federal contracts per se, right? If I was to contract with the Forest Service, mm-hmm. for instance, they would have a contracting officer that makes sure that the contract is being upheld. Mm-hmm. On the FERC side, I don't know if I can speak to that. If I do know that there's a FERC project manager that is involved, whether or not they are there, the level of involvement is going to have to be answered by KRRC.
Okay. Maybe you could chase that for us a little bit.
Absolutely. Too. I can absolutely help you.
Either at the state or the federal, no, because there's still this back and forth with the federal project and the state project that
sure.
checked for. My real question related to that is that as I look at Appendix B, there are quite a few filings with FERC from the E standpoint. Are you aware of any FERC corrective actions that have been imposed as a result of them reviewing them? Or what is the interaction? Okay, so you put it in the library, so what?
Right. So my understanding is that those FERC filings are made with the PM. There is review from FERC, but FERC is required to post all of that on their public library. And so that's what we're seeing. There is back and forth between FERC and KRRC in a formalized fashion. So you will see letters of response to particular items that have been submitted. In terms of correction items, I'm not aware of any corrective actions at this time.
Okay. And then also there are a number of things submitted to the county that we've had to respond to. What corrective actions has the county had to take?
Yeah, and I think Road Commissioner Deeney will be speaking to some of this in a few minutes. We are in the process right now of a formal dispute resolution process with the contractors and KRRC on Fall and Dry Creek Bridges for public safety. CDFW is engaged in that conversation. We're working through this process to get a resolution as soon as possible. But we have not made any formal notification to FERC at this time because we would like to try to get that handled at the local level first to expedite the fixes to the bridges for public safety.